A very good evening, everybody. This is the Voice of America in Washington. Welcome to another edition of Reporters Roundtable. I'm Douglas Simpuga. And this evening, we'll talk about the elections in Tanzania and Ivory Coast, compare and contrast the processes. And with us tonight is my colleague, Idris Fall of VOA French to Africa. Idris, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Douglas, and hi to your listeners.
Thank you very much. And we're also joined by another colleague, Vincent Makori, host of Africa 54. He's joining us from the Tanzanian Cup, from Dar es Salaam. Good evening, Vincent.
Good evening, Douglas.
How is Dar es Salaam?
Dar es Salaam is, warm, humid, but it's okay.
I see. Very good. And we're also joined by regular panelist Suleiman Mgula. He's an independent political analyst. He joined us from Durban in South Africa. Good evening, Suleiman.
Good evening, Douglas, and our listeners.
I hope Durban is fine.
Very fine. Thank you for inviting me, as always.
You're welcome. And I say, gentlemen, our listeners may be aware, Tanzania had elections on Sunday, so did Ivory Coast. Ivory Coast President Alassane Ouattara won a second five-year term with nearly 84% of the vote. Today in Tanzania, they announced the CCM party candidate John Pombe Magufuli having won the election with 58% of the vote, according to the Electoral Commission. His main rival, Edward Lowassa, has reportedly rejected the official results that gave him 40% of the ballots cast. Let's begin in Dar es Salaam. Vincent, bring us up to date. The results were announced today. How is the mood in Dar es Salaam?
Well, the mood in Dar es Salaam, it all depends on who you're talking to and which side of town you're in. For those of the opposition, they're extremely saddened by this result. They believe they've been cheated out of their victory. But for those in the ruling party, CCM, Chama Cha Mapinduzi, it's jubilation across the city because they feel that their party has been validated as being still relevant and that they did not fail in convincing people that they can still continue doing a good job despite having been in power for quite some time now.
The opposition claims that they're not satisfied. What recourse do they have, or what does it have any impact?
Well, they have no legal recourse. The Electoral Commission chairman in this system is the god. His word is final. They don't have any legal recourse. You can't go to any court of law, according to the Constitution here. His word is final, and that's it. He declared Dr. John Magufuli as the president. That's it. There's nothing much legally that the opposition can do at this point.
Idris, CCM, that party in Tanzania has been powerful for over 50 years. Is it a stretch that people would have expected that party to lose?
No, because, Tanzania, since 64, I think the same party had been ruling it. Even
yes.
CCM was created, I think, in 77,
yes,
in a
correct.
Fusion with those and the political party in Zanzibar.
Correct.
And you see, I think Vincent may be more able to talk about what's going to happen in Zanzibar. And all these years, whenever you have election, you will have a lot of violence in Zanzibar. I don't know what will happen, but people want change, and that change does not happen, and the people in power are the same part who had been ruling these countries since independence.
Even the two contenders. Suleiman, the opposition now try to make some gains, but there are those who say the two top contenders were actually from the same party, virtually.
It is true. They are from the same party. And over and above, we have to put into consideration the fact that CCM has been in power for a long time. It would need a lot of organization to dislodge a well-established party like Chama Cha Mapinduzi. Yes, gains are being made, but the expectation was so much because you need totally a very big machinery to be able to organize the opposition, to be able to dislodge them. I think it was a question of late organization.
I see. Vincent, what's the fate of the Zanzibari election, which were nullified? Because there are those who believe that the elections in Zanzibar count to the final tally of the Tanzanian presidential election.
Well, it still hangs in the balance. It is a major source of confusion to a majority of the people. I think the first time that the country is dealing with such a situation, almost you could say it's a constitutional crisis there. This is the reason. First, the nullification of those results did not make sense to many people for a simple reason that the Zanzibar Electoral Commission had been announcing those results continuously since Monday throughout Tuesday. And now what changed that on Wednesday they came out and announced that there were gross violations that had not been mentioned before did not make much sense. In fact, the U.S. differs with them. There was a statement from the U.S. Embassy in Dar es Salaam which clearly stated that their observers, along with other observers, concluded that the election in Zanzibar was credible despite problems here and there. And today, the International Electoral Observer Groups released a joint statement. That is the Africa Union Observer Group, the European Union Observer Group, the Commonwealth Observer Group, the SADC Observer Group. They all said the same thing. They believed the process was credible despite problems, and they did not understand why the elections could be nullified. Now, it creates a confusion because ideally, so those votes in Zanzibar, some of them count into the totals for the presidential race in Tanzania. And along with that, also, of course, there is the election of the parliament, members of parliament for the national parliament.
I see. Idris, the Tanzania counting has taken several days to get to whatever they have gotten to now here. In Ivory Coast, it didn't take this long.
Well, because the Ivory Coast, they were using a very modern tablet for people to vote, you know. I think to centralize it, it was much easier. I don't know how did they vote with Bulletin or whatever it was in Tanzania, which is also a very used country. And beside that, Fenton was talking about what happened in Tanzania. That may a little bit delay the thing. But it, I would, because most of the thing went smoothly. They have seven candidates, and everybody knew from the beginning that Alassane Ouattara are going to be reelected.
But the loser, the closest challenger, Pascal, he got
Pascal Apingeso.
Yes, he got 9%, and he's also crying foul. And given that the last election was also contested and which led to conflict,
but
how do you explain Ouattara's 84% win?
Well, because you know, first after the crisis of 2010 and 2011, you know, a lot of things happened in between. Former president had been sent in jail up there in Hagen, and his own former party, the FPI, was divided. There were some guys who were saying that they should not participate, and Pascal Afingesan went to a legal fight to take over that party, the FPI, Front Populaire Ivoirien. So he did well. He did well, I think, using the name of the former, of the party of Laurent Gbagbo, and it helped him. But I never expect him to go more than 10%. And it was a very, very good score.
Yes.
Because he did not have all his political party. And I think between last year and now, he did a very good score compared to the others. And outside, I think Ivorians were tired of war, and that's true. I just came back from Abidjan, and in 4 years, really, in 4 years, you can see he did a lot of things. You can see it when you are at the bridges, roads, really compared to the Abidjan I knew before. It speaks by itself, and people are living peacefully now. Whenever you go to a maki now, it's full. And after 3,000 people had been killed during those political crises in 2011 and 10, I think Ivorians also are tired of war. They want some peace. And so that I think I can understand his score.
Of 84%.
Yeah.
Suleiman, following up on Idris' point here, I think the Ivorians may have learned a lesson from the last election where it was contested. It led to some conflict. Over 3,000 people were killed. I think now they may be moving in the right direction.
Yes, the Ivorians were voting for progress. After going through two civil wars, no one would have expected them to vote otherwise. Above all, there is visible progress. Ouattara has proved himself to be a capable leader. The economy is growing at a pace of 6 to 7%. So there is the economy is rejuvenating. I wouldn't see them trying to vote otherwise. As our friend has said, there are tremendous changes in the country itself, and the leadership seems to be solid, regardless of the challenges which are there, the challenges which we have faced before. But I think they are going in the right direction, and they deserve the percentages which they have got.
Vincent, going back to Tanzania election, I'm still interested in this opposition's claims because the opposition Okawa coalition candidate earlier claimed he had won with 62% of the vote. Where did he get that number, and what was the impact to the people?
Well, they claim that there was gross interference in a number of polling stations. This is what they're saying, that there were places where numbers were literally changed at the polling station, or rather after the counting had been completed, that some of the, electoral officials switched the numbers or added some numbers to the, candidate for the ruling party, or reduced the numbers for Mr. Magufuli. Those are the claims they're making. They do say that they have evidence, that they have those documents from the polling stations across the country where they can create proof that if you take the totals that were announced at the polling station and you look at what the Electoral Commission announced at the election tallying center, that those numbers have a disparity. They do not really marry each other. But now that is in dispute because some of the people say, well, that is their perception, or that is what they want people to believe. Now, whether the Electoral Commission would have allowed them to sit down and, go, as they claim, a manual count and compare what was taken from the polling station and what the Electoral Commission announced at the end, if that would have made a difference, we will not know at this point, because once the Electoral Commission has made the announcement, it is considered final. Tomorrow they're giving a certificate to the winning candidate, and they will be waiting for inauguration.
Mm-hmm. But you are reporting several ministers lost their seats, their parliamentary seats.
Yes, quite a number lost. It was significant also in some regions. But again, that is sometimes could be meaning that they did not perform well in their own, local constituencies, despite the fact that they were holding ministerial positions. So opposition made some gains in some of these areas. And that is why somebody may make an argument that if there was to be serious rigging, the first place where they could have been comfortably rigged out are some of those areas where the opposition, cabinet members came from, because they, you would assume they have the machinery to do that. And so some of those in the who are critics of the opposition would say, how is it that some of our, strong guys could lose if indeed we were rigging this election? How they lost, we cannot explain, the gains that the opposition made in some of the areas seem not to have really, helped them to get ahead of the ruling party. But that's how things stand right now. It's an interesting mix of new members of parliament along with the older ones. But it's, it is in some areas surprising. In some areas, there was no surprise at all.
I see. Gentlemen, let's take a short break. We'll be back to continue our discussion of the elections in Tanzania and Ivory Coast. I'm told we may not need the break. Just remind you that in case you're just tuning in, you are listening to Reporters Roundtable, and we are coming to you live from the Voice of America studios here in Washington. Our topic tonight, we are looking at elections in Tanzania and Ivory Coast, looking at the contrasts and the comparisons. Our panelists are my colleagues, Idris Fall of VOA's French to Africa, and Vincent Macquarie, host of VOA's Africa 54. And we also have Suleiman Mugula, an independent political analyst, joining us from Durban. And I'm your host, Douglas Impuga, here in Studio 9. Idris, this arrangement in Tanzania is a bit unique in that despite the complaints from one party, the word of the Electoral Commission is final. So who looks at it if there are some irregularities? And the reports from the observers, they are generic. Like the one in Tanzania, the European Union observers said that the elections were generally well organized, but with insufficient efforts at transparency from the election administrations. So what option is there? Just accept the result and keep on?
But it is the law. You know, people don't have much choices. If, as Vincent just said, the chief of the Electoral Commission is like a word coming from God, when God says something, you don't have any reference, you know?
Yes.
If the Constitution and the law say that, there is nothing you can do.
Yes.
Vincent, don't you agree?
This is my take.
Yes.
This is my take. You know, I think if anybody really had any idea of what things could turn out to be, the participants should have insisted that they cannot go to an election where they have no possibility of petitioning. But I think once they committed themselves to an election, under those circumstances, it's hard now to go back and cry foul and look for recourse when you know there wasn't any even before you entered the election. It's a very interesting thing. I don't know if there's any other country in the world where you have no legal recourse in the case of an election dispute, but that's how it is. The Electoral Commission chairman is God.
So, Suleiman, what do you take? Because in most other countries, you can go to court and they are betrayed because the Electoral Commission... Putting that too much power in the chairman of the Electoral Commission is a bit, I don't know. What do you think, Suleiman?
I think what it shows us is that we still have a long way to go in Africa. We have to perfect our elections. I think there are lots of lacunas within our electoral process and the laws, both administratively and legally, because really that is a very big discrepancy to find a situation where people cannot complain after an election has been held. So this is very, very serious, and it might create problems in Tanzania. It is not very good for the stability of the country. And I think it's high time that we on the continent, by and large, we need to refine the processes so that we don't get problems like this one. Mm-hmm. Because we don't know what will happen, because already the opposition leader doesn't want to accept the results, and that one might create problems on the ground. Given the historical violence that has happened, especially in Zanzibar, it would be very good if we would get consensus on such an election. And getting consensus these days is part of the civilized democratic processes, that once an election has been held, the opposition or the loser should immediately concede defeat. Where you get cases where the opposition cannot or the loser cannot concede the defeat, it raises questions of the legitimacy of the election.
Idris, taking it regionally, at least the example of Ivory Coast, is at least there can be some transition from chaos to organized elections and maybe peace and stability, which of course brings about some development, like you say, in Ivory Coast.
Yeah, but Ivory Coast has this particularity, you know. And if you look also in Guinea, whenever you have elections, you have violence.
Yes.
And in Ivory Coast, I think in 2010, it went too far away, very far.
Mm.
People got killed, and people was tired of that.
Mm.
And you have even the military intervention of France to be able to get rid of Laurent Gbagbo. And then, because Ivory Coast is in West Africa, beside Nigeria, is a very powerful economy.
Mm.
And everybody used to go there, do their job. They have cacao, they have oil, and really it was one of the strongest things. And I think France want that to come back.
Mm-hmm.
And in Senegal, the constitution allows the opponent to go to the Supreme Court and contest the result.
Mm.
It exists in Ivory Coast also.
Mm.
It exists even in Guinea.
Mm.
But Tanzania, maybe it is history. because the Tanzania, you know, the Tanzania of Mr. Julius Nyerere, the Mwalimu or whatever, he had been in power, I don't know, for how many years?
20-something, 24,
and the only thing he left in Tanzania was poverty.
Idris,
yes.
The interesting part is that even we go back into the days of someone like Daniel Arap Moi in Kenya, who did not tolerate anything. He was an absolute dictator. There was still a provision for legal recourse. There was. The fact was that he would not win because the judges are appointed by him, but they had a semblance of some legal recourse because you could actually petition in court. Yeah, but for a country that has been so peaceful like Tanzania, where, you know, you would expect something like that to be present, it is a little surprising that it doesn't.
I see. Suleiman, given Tanzania's standing in the region, as Bruce says, it has been peaceful, one party has been in power for this long. Now, as the opposition gains ground, what does it augur for its stability and in the region? Because compared to the neighbors, it has been the sea of stability.
Yeah, and it's very unfortunate because the neighboring countries, given what is happening in the neighboring countries, they were looking forward to having a smooth election in Tanzania. Coming out the way it is coming, it is very unfortunate. Let's just pray that manage to sort it out. Otherwise, regardless of what happens, it is still a better system than the rest of the regional countries. Because if you compare countries like Uganda, countries like Rwanda, countries like DRC, countries like Central African Republic, there is no democracy at all. In Tanzania, there was freedom of people were free to campaign, people were free to converse, compared to Uganda, where they are going to have election next year. Opposition leaders do not even have the room to converse. They are arrested, they are brutalized. In Tanzania, all the Chadema or the Ukawa group was able to converse peacefully. The CCM was able. That is why there was a lot of excitement. That is why the turnout was considerably well as compared to these other countries like Uganda and so on. So much as there are all these problems, much as there are these legal discrepancies, but still we can rate them to be better. The conditions are better. The democratic situation, the ground, the playing field is more smoother than compared to other areas, the other countries in the region, which are pure dictatorial regime.
Yes,
something else. If I may say something, what I think, and this is maybe too early to say, Tanzania is going to remain peaceful still. I think the Tanzanians have a totally different outlook to this. They value their peace more than anything else. There could be a few skirmishes here and there, but the fact that it hasn't happened, it didn't happen yesterday when the opposition said they reject those results. And the fact that it didn't happen today when a president, the new president was announced, I don't think it can pick up the momentum and you know, to the point that you're going to see chaos tomorrow. I predict that it's going to remain calm. There will be complaints. There will be a few protests here and there, but eventually it will go down and the country will just forge forward peacefully.
And Idris, given, I think both of them, what they're alluding to is in countries where at least the campaigning process is fine, where you can go and campaign at will, like it happened in Cote d'Ivoire and in Tanzania, the results have an impact, but not as much as it would have if people had been curtailed from having the freedom to campaign.
Well, I think Tanzania is poor. People tend to forget that. Mm-hmm. It's the only thing the Mwalimu left them. Peace and poverty. And it's true. Even after election, when you have all those violence, it happened only in Zanzibar.
Yes.
And the people, they're trying to fight for surviving. You let them talk and they talk.
Yes.
And they have kind of now this system telling that the president finished his two mandate like Kikwete. And he go. And John Magufuli going to be president there.
For 10 years. And
people continue doing their job, you know. And if you look at the region, as Suleiman was saying, really it's better there because you have peace.
Yes.
You don't have killings like the neighbor in Burundi.
Mm.
who ever know what will happen in Rwanda if ever Mr. Kagame decides to change the constitution and run again. I think even there it's going to go peacefully because the guy, he holds very well his country. I don't expect some violence in Rwanda if Kagame does that. But people may have at least a liberty of being able to speak, to talk their mind.
Yes. And, actually, in Rwanda, they have a sanction that Kagame will run again, so it won't be...
Nothing will happen there.
Yes.
In Rwanda, if it happened, I am telling you, in 2017, knowing this guy, Mr. Paul Kagame, he holds his country very, very well. You don't speak something against the RPF, no. You have a kind of opposition. It's not like even in Tanzania, no. You had been to Kigali. It's not that free. I know that it's the less corrupted country in the whole region. The policemen are very disciplined. They work hard, things like that. The city of Kigali is clean and whatever. But talking about liberty, no.
Yes.
No.
So, Suleiman, the last 30 seconds, as I just see, I say, I'm told we don't have Suleiman now. A recent thought.
Yes.
Now that Zanzibar's elections are nullified and you have a new president in Tanzania, do the results matter anymore?
It's final, but I think we can say very, very clearly that the Zanzibar situation still remains in a state of confusion. That's it. But I think the mainland Tanzania will go on with life.
I see. Final thought, Idris. At least comparing the two elections in Tanzania, and both of them, at least they emphasize stability. So
yeah,
that's a step ahead.
There. The only difference is Ivory Coast really going to be a driving economical force. But Tanzania, I don't know.
And recent, the new president, Pombe Magufuli, if you look at his track record as Minister of Works, at least he has something to show for it.
Yeah, they say he has something to show for. He's been involved in developing this rapid transport system. So people see, those who want to see it that way, they see him as a person who has... indicated that he can literally, you know, push the country forward economically. Hardworking fellow, they say, although he wasn't a person that people thought would be going for the presidency. Kind of a surprise candidate.
And finally, in the last 30 seconds, Mr. Lowassa, is he about to say anything after the announcement of the new president?
He did already. They protested. They say they don't recognize it. We're waiting for tomorrow again to see what he says when the new president gets handed over the certificate of, recognizing him as the president. So definitely they're going to say something, but I don't know what, because what else can they do? What else can they say?
I see. Well, gentlemen, we just pray that everything goes fine.
But at least it's peaceful.
It's peaceful.
In Tanzania.
Yeah,
it's
that's important.
Different that to contest election people go killing each other for.
Yeah.
I think it's a very good something.
And at least they can change leaders at regular times. 10 years, one goes, another comes in. Yeah. That's a big achievement.
Lowassa can wait for 10 years.
He can wait for 10 years. Well, gentlemen, that wraps up this edition of Reporters Roundtable. I'd like to thank our panel, my colleagues, Idris Fall of VOA French to Africa, Vincent Makori, host of Africa 54. Thanks very much, gentlemen.
Thank you, Douglas.
Thank you.
Allez, bye-bye, Vincent, and bring me something
thank
from Dar es Salaam.
Everybody.
Yes, and our thanks go to our other panelists, Suleiman Mugula in Durban. Our producer tonight was Jackson Mvunganya. Our engineer was Peter Handley. We'll be back again next week with another edition of Reporters Roundtable. A reminder that in case you missed any or part of this program, you can still access it by going to our main website at www.voanews.com. Click on Programs and scroll down to Reporters Roundtable. You can also drop us a line. Our email address is reporters@voanews.com. Thanks very much for tuning in. And until next week, I'm your host, Douglas Impuga in Washington, wishing you all the best.